Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call of Marco Polo SA to discuss the earnings of the fourth quarter 2020 and the year of 2020. This conference call is also on the company's IR website, ri.marcopolo.com.br. And it's going to be with an webcast in English and in Portuguese, where you can also find the presentation. Right now, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to start the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you need assistance during the conference call, please reach the operator by pressing star zero. This conference call is being recorded. Before moving on, we would like to let you know that any statements made during this conference call about Marco Polo's business prospects, projections, operating and financial goals, as well as about its potential growth, are forecasts based on the management's expectations with regard to the future of the company. Forward-looking statements depend on market conditions, the general economic performance, and international markets, and therefore are subject to changes. Today with us in Caxias do Sul, Rio Grande do Sul, are James Bellini, CEO, José Antonio Valiati, CFO and Investor Relations Officer, and Eduardo Wilrich, Planning and IR Manager. First, Mr. Valiati will talk about Marco Polo's performance in the year of 2020. Then, Mr. Bellini will talk about the prospects for 2021. We'll now turn the call to Mr. Valiati. Please, Mr. Valiati, you may go on. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We would like to thank you all for attending Marco Polo's conference call to discuss the earnings of the fourth quarter and the year 2020. We are going to start the presentation on slide number 4 with a brief profile of the company. We are one of the largest bus body Brazilian companies, leader in Brazil, and a strong presence in all segments. Our products are a reference in quality, and we are focused on attaining the best product to our clients. We are in the States since 78. In August, we completed 71 years old. We are present with plants in 9 countries, and today we have approximately 10,000 employees along our industrial plants. Going to the next slide. In 2020, the bus Brazilian production was 16,715 units, minus 26% compared to the year of 19. The bus production was highly affected by the pandemic as of the second quarter because of lockdown activities. If we were to consider Volare models, that is sold complete with body and chassis, the drop would be slightly lower, 24.9%. In the year, the bus segment had a drop of almost 26%. Urban buses with a drop of 34% and micro with a reduction of 3%. Let's go now to the next slide. In the fourth quarter, Marco Polo's production in the Brazilian market dropped by 16.2%. Production for exports had a drop of 22.7%. Consolidated numbers, production of Marco Polo Brazil had a drop of 37.6%. In the internal market, the production was supported by an expressive volume of units directed to the federal program Caminho da Escola. In exports, the African market showed good performance. In external units, we had a higher drop with 37.6%. The positive operation was Argentina, with a substantial increase in volumes in the quarter and in the year. The production for the fourth quarter is basically associated to the incoming of orders in the third quarter of 2020, when company markets were still affected with lockdown activities, with the tourism in a halt, and a lower number of users in public transportation, in addition to uncertainty about the success of vaccines. Let's go to the next slide. In terms of sales, we see the effect of mix in the Brazilian market revenues. We had a drop of 15%, but revenues had a drop of 21%. Basically, focusing on heavy road buses. The highlight for the quarter was the performance of urban exports, basically because of sales to the African continent. In micro and Volare segments, well, that was benefited by the volume sold to the Caminho da Escola program, as well to the charter buses with the replacement of vans with buses, which are more suitable for you to keep social distancing. In external units, the drop of volume also showed a drop in revenues. As in production, also in sales, we see the effect of the pandemic on the bus market, with a drop of 25% in the number of units delivered and a drop of 17% in revenues in the quarter. Let's go to the next slide. If we break down our revenues, you see that the urban segment was the one that had the highest share, accounting for 43% of company revenues. And then we have the intercity buses with the 20%, followed by Volare with 18%. Remember that revenues in Volare account for the whole bus, that is body and chassis in a single product. The sales of microbuses accounted for 7% of revenues in the quarters, and the other segments 12% of revenues. Now let's go to the next slide. In the quarter, the company's gross profit was 178.4 million. I'm sorry, 100, yes, with a gross margin of 17%, which was benefited by the positive effect of exchange rate in exports, higher efficiency in operations, and the optimization of our plants in Brazil. EBITDA was 149 million, which was negatively affected by costs related to costs with personnel with about 16 million. As a counterpart, the company recognized 44 million as results of its sale of its share in Indiana PM. The company also recognized a positive impact of 15 million, a fruit of the exchange rate variation of Marcopolo, Canada. The reduction of capital was possible because of the cash availability of Marcopolo, Canada, coming from the dividend payout of a New Flyer along the recent quarters. The Indian affiliate had a negative equivalence of 4.8 million, considering the months of October and November. With the confirmation of sales of the share of the joint venture, Marcopolo had positive results of 18.8 million relative to exchange variation in the net equity of Marcopolo, according to the investments made. Consolidated net profit in the fourth quarter 2020 was 136 million, which enjoyed the financial results, the exchange variation, and other effects already mentioned before. particularly the sale of the investments in India. Now I'm going to turn to James, that is going to talk about the performance and prospects for the coming months. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start talking about the company performance and the prospects for the domestic market. Well, resume sales in the intercity market. Basically, that was interrupted by the second wave of the pandemic, which made clients not go into new sales. That basically we had a historically seasonality, but we believe that we are going to have a more consistent increase of volumes for the second half of 2021. The recovery basically is going to be fostered by the strengths of regional tourism and passengers going back to buses. In the urban market, the companies see that the recovery is going to be a little slower. The segment depends on the economic performance of the country. Micros and Volaris buses continue with a positive highlight. Remember that vans are being replaced by smaller buses, especially in charter buses. Also, the Caminho da Escola, the Road to School program, continues with positive volumes. In the fourth quarter, the company delivered 938 units, 261 urban, 454 micro, and 223 Volaris. We have a portfolio of about 3,500 units for the program, and there is going to be a new auction that we expect to be posted in the coming weeks. Marcopolo was leader in bus bodies with a share of 48% in the fourth quarter. The next slide talks about our performance and prospects in exports and international operations. Different from other cycles in which geographic dispersion helped us with the adverse scenario of Brazil, the pandemic affected all our markets. Despite the drop in volumes, exports are going to show better performance compared to the Brazilian market in the first quarter 2021, especially because of the exchange devaluation. We expect a recovery in volume in the main markets of South America. Africa will continue to show good performance in the beginning of 2021. Controlled companies continued with their movement affected by the pandemic, but probably the best highlight is going to be Argentina. It's a robust portfolio due to repressed demand in recent years. Gradually, we are going to recover volumes in Mexico, South Africa, and China as the pandemic settles down. As for the Colombian operation, Superpolo, it will continue to report good results with relevant order of bodies for electric buses. Also, positive prospects for New Flyer, with the pandemic going down in North America. Let's go on to the next slide. In the fourth quarter 2020, the company made use of the suspension of labor contracts with a cost of 15.7 million. If this were to be excluded, the gross margin would have been 19.7%. The most important tool along 2020 enabled us to adjust labor according to sales recovery. In the beginning of 2021, Marcopolo continues to make use of these resources, flexibilizing work hours and giving collective vacations to its people. In addition, the company continued with its internal reorganization plan, which is very important to adjust expenses to revenues. Costs with termination represented a non-recurrent expense of almost 16 million in the fourth quarter 2020. Those adjustments related to the termination of operations in Marcopolo Rio. Also, this personnel adjustment in the fourth quarter makes a difference in the results of the fourth quarter, but will give us better results for the future with better operational leverage as volumes return to normal. In 2020, we also accelerate our moves because of drop of volume, optimizing our resources and our plants. With that, we had a break-even in the plant of São Mateus that is reducing costs and adding efficiency in other operations. We also had lots of properties to be sold. In the last quarter 2020, we also sold our stake in our Indian affiliate of $13.5 million. The company wanted to have a restructuring of its business model in India, and that was a good opportunity for both parties, keeping the brand Marcopolo upon the payment of royalties. With the results in the fourth quarter, the company's board of directors approved payment of interest on capital at 2 cents per share. The shares were traded ex interest as of December 23rd. The dividends payment on a quarterly basis is still frozen because we still don't know what the pandemic will bring. We continue to curb our costs, and the idea is to have more efficient processes and more innovative products. Even during the pandemic, Marcopolo shows that it wants to recover its operating margins, basically going towards its strategic targets. For 2021, the company will continue to have initiatives towards their customers to offer the best alternatives, adding technology, comfort, efficiency, and design. We'll now start the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. This is for analysts and investors only. We would like to let the journalists present that executives will be able to answer your questions at the end of the conference call on the phone 54-2101-4660. To ask a question, please press star one. To withdraw your question, press star two. Our first question comes from Victor Mizusaki from Bradesco BBI. Victor, you may go on. Hello, everyone. Good morning. I have two questions with regard to Marcopolo's gross margin. The first, James, you did mention about the termination of Marcopolo Rio. Do you think it is possible for us to measure how much the plant shutdown contributed to your results in terms of margins? And the second question is related to the Caminho da Escola program. You mentioned that you probably are going to have a higher price because of an increase of raw material, and Marcopolo is going to make new deliveries. And I would like to understand this dynamics a bit better if you're going to increase or decrease your margins with these new deliveries. Good morning, Victor. I'm sorry. We were trying to understand the question. That's why it took us a while. Well, improvements related to the shutdown of Marcopolo Rio. You know that we have a plant optimization process. We had six plants in Brazil, and we went down to three. One of the most efficient ways to reduce costs and improve margins is to concentrate production on less sites, and this is what we did. And we certainly counted on that, and margins are going to get a lot better as the demand for buses recovers. and we have a production that is a bit more robust. This was a very interesting movement for us to make. We have been working on that for some time, and in a way, the pandemic enabled us to accelerate this move and complete it in the year of 2020. Hi, Victor. This is Eduardo speaking. Thanks for your question. Your question was very, very low, so we were trying to understand exactly what you're asking. But anyway, the Road to School program, the Caminho da Escola, in the first quarter, these are units that were bid in 2019. So in contracts, we had a total security that we are going to deliver the units. The numbers that we have, we are quite comfortable with. We believe that the order is going to be delivered as planned. Yes, but when you talk about the increase of raw materials, the newspapers were talking about that recently. The new deliveries of 1,300 buses, because of the increase of raw materials, do you think your margins can be pressured, or do you have any kind of hedge for that, and you're not going to have a difference in margins? Okay, Victor. Of course, we do observe the increasing costs, as you mentioned. But again, there were several clauses in contract for us to somehow protect against increases in processes. So that was quite well sized. You remember that whenever there is a bid, you have something similar going on. So we do have some kind of hedging measures to ensure that raw materials are not going to account for too much inflation when we are going to deliver buses, because we do project a longer period for delivery, and this is considered in the pricing of the buses when we take part in a bid. Of course, impacts can happen, but generally not as relevant because of these measures that we take when taking part in bids. Okay, thank you very much. Our next question comes from André Souza, shareholder. You may go on. Good morning, everyone. My question is with regard to two specific aspects. First, if we can expect for 21 any strategic realignment of the company for the future, and even in terms of corporate governance, since we have the controllers sitting in the management and in the board of directors. And the second question is about Arcanjo company that it shows in your financial investments and what it is role in Marcopolo. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, good morning. Regards to your question, in terms of governance, I don't think there will be any change. We are going to continue managing the company as usual. The board of directors is elected until March next year. And until then, we do not expect any movements in this regard. For your next question, I'm going to turn to Eduardo to answer. Well, thanks for your question, André. Arcanjo is a company that is part of the context that Renan mentioned in the previous conference call. These are new arms seeking alternatives of investment, especially in segments that are associated to transportation, but to things that we don't operate today. So we can work on telemetrics, monitoring of traveling, which is not something that we do directly today, but it is associated to our core business. So Arcanjo is associated to this kind of initiative. It's still very tiny, but that is what it means within our operations. Well, if you allow me, if you could talk a bit more about the restructuring of Marcopolo China. You're talking about relevant operations, and how much can that impact in the results of the coming periods? Good morning, André. Well, with regard to our operation in China, this is a relevant market, and Marcopolo now went for a restructuring in that operation, trying to give a bit more attention to that market that we know is the largest bus market in the world. We changed the manager, and we are restructuring the operation, having in mind that Marcopolo understands and is working hard to make the operation even more relevant than it has been. So this is what it is all about. Once again, we have an executive that was selected in the market, and the objective is to conduct a market study for the whole of the region, not only China, but the whole region. And he's already engaged in that. In the beginning, it was very difficult. It took us several months for this executive to be able to go into China. This is an executive that had already lived in China for 20 years, but he was out. We had to take work permits and everything, but now he's already in China, and I'm sure we are going to have very positive results in the future. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Luiz Henrique Vickert from Simpel. Okay, Luiz Henrique, can we go on? Good morning, James, Valiati, Eduardo. My first question is about labor. In the past, you had labor liabilities that you had to carry for several quarters. And now, with the termination of work contract, are you going to have other movements with labor? So, what can you say about your current number of employees? And the second question, in terms of sales of your properties, do you have any timing? Should we expect anything for this year? Because we know the real estate market is heated, and should we expect anything from Marcopolo Rio or Planalto? Thank you. Thanks, Luiz Henrique, for your questions. Well, labor. Well, as James mentioned in his part of the presentation, during last year, we tried to avoid as much as possible to lay off our personnel, and that's why we froze contracts, reduced work hours as much as possible. But when we realized that the market was not to come back that fast, then we made the necessary adjustments. And at this point, I would say we are with the right number of employees. And even with a bit of a cushion, so that is, when demand comes back, we can respond fast. So we are okay with regard to that. As for the sale of properties, yes, we are very much focused on this topic. The market effectively has been shown a bit more heated in terms of real estate. And we are working both with the property of Rio de Janeiro, Planalto, and also Três Rios. And we are prospecting buyers or even the mediators to help us sell these properties. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Jonathan Koutras from JP Morgan. Please, Mr. Koutras, you may go on. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions on my side. The first is, when do you think the bus market is going to go back to normal? The aviation business says it will take a while. Buses can take can recover a little faster. And the second question is margins. How much do you think you can expand your margins? And also, looking historically, you had margins above 20 points, percentage points. When volumes go back to normal, what kind of margins do you think you should expect? Thank you. Okay, well, we couldn't hear your second question very well. If you could please speak up. Can you hear me now? Yes. Okay, so the second is about margin. What kind of expansion you would expect? You had an expansion of 2 percentage points this quarter. How much do you think you can increase? Okay, thanks, Jonathan, for your question. Well, first, because about the recovery of the market. If it weren't for the pandemic, we think the market would have come back in 2020. If you take a look at the charts that we have in our presentation showing market behavior, we see that the Brazilian production and the Brazilian bus market has been affected for a while now. It was going through a process of recovery in 2018-19, and in 2020 we certainly thought that we would have one of the best years of Marco Polo ever if it weren't for the pandemic. With the pandemic, the demand was once again repressed, but sooner or later it will come back. We believe that as of the second half of this year, the recovery will start to show. Vaccine and trust of users are going to be crucial for the movement. We think there will be a growing trend. I hope that we are going to have very strong demand, but we think it's going to be more towards the second half of 21. And then in 22 and 23, we'll probably get to optimum levels, which are more compatible to the Brazilian market. As for margin recovery in terms of room to grow, we have been monitoring margins, as Valiati mentioned. If at this pace of volume recovery, we're also in a process of margin recovery. That is also very much associated to the operational leverage that we mentioned. We think we are going to go back to historical margins of the company volumes pick up, as volumes go back to normal. So that is connected to volumes that would be compatible to the size of the fleet of Brazil, a minimum update of ages and volumes of Caminho da Escola program. So normality in terms of volumes will take to normality in terms of margins. I think it's important to highlight that even with a volume that is 30% lower than our lowest volume that was in 2011, because of the adjustments made, because of the plant optimization process, gains in efficiency and changes that we had in recent years, we could have margins, better margins, before recovering all the volumes. So we do have all the means to reach good margins because of the adjustments made. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Henrique Simões from Credit Suisse. Henrique, Mr. Simões. I have two questions. Good morning. The first in the fourth quarter, you decreased your net debt. Do you think it's correct to suppose that this has to do with working capital and also the marking of your debt in dollars because of the valuation in the fourth quarter, and therefore it should increase in the first quarter of 2021 because the effect is no longer there, and also level of investment that you are expecting for 2021? Well, with regard to net debt, Henrique, effectively in the fourth quarter it went down, and what could make the debt to increase would be the increase of operations for the Caminho da Escola program, because these operations have a longer cycle and they do demand working capital. So we can have some ups and downs in terms of net debt, but not quite relevant. The number that we closed the year is the number that we are pursuing, and we want to be close to that. Our target is even to be below the 3x net debt EBITDA ratio. We are way below that, but this is a point we are always watching out for. As for investments, well, rarely we try to have most of the investments in contingency, never stopping with the strategic investments that are necessary to keep competitive. We believe that for 2021, we are going to have some number that is very close to what we had in 2020. Okay, thank you very much. We are now closing the Q&A session. I would like to turn the call to Mr. Valiati for his final considerations. Well, once again, we would like to thank you all for attending. The IR area are available for any further information that you might need. We thank you very much and wish you all the best. Marcos Paulo S.A.'s conference call is now closed. We thank you very much for joining us and wish you a good day. You may disconnect your lines.